I like the story of the teacher that was teaching her kindergarten class about Easter, about the resurrection. So she asked the children, "Tell me, what is the most important thing about Easter?" And one little girl raised her hand and says, "The most important thing is Easter egg hunts." And the teacher, oh, she was getting worried that the message never got across. So she says, "Anybody else?" Another little girl raises her hand and says, "I know. The most important thing about Easter is chocolate and candy, especially chocolate bunnies." Oh, the teacher was getting very worried now. She says, "How about anybody else? Anybody else know what's the real meaning of Easter?" And a little boy raised his hand and says, "I know. Jesus came out of the tomb after 3 days." Oh, the teacher was so happy. And finally, she realized how great a teacher she was. And she said to the little boy, "Well, and what happened after that?" And the little boy says, "He saw a shadow and went back in." I do want to say first that our class of RCIA is much smarter than those kids, right? Because we've had a wonderful class this year. Tonight we have 51 of you receiving the sacraments. We'll have 51 confirmations tonight. And what's so special is that 13 of you will be baptized. Baptized as adults. What a wonderful blessing that is for you. And then 27 of you, in addition, will also be confirmed along with those that will be baptized tonight. And then we have 14 of you that were baptized Catholic, mostly as babies, will now be confirmed as adults. So 13 baptisms, a total of 51 confirmations. So what a blessing that is for our church. It's a wonderful sign of hope and encouragement. Because as you know, we always say that converts make some of the very best Catholics. Because you don't take your faith for granted. See, if somebody grew up living right near, let's say, Niagara Falls, well, it doesn't mean that much because you see it every day. If you grew up looking at the Grand Canyon in your backyard, it doesn't mean as much. You can take it for granted. But for those who see it for the first time, who walk up to the Grand Canyon for the first time as adults, they're so amazed at how beautiful it is. Same with you in coming to the Catholic faith. You see the beauty of the faith. As you know, sometimes immigrants, when they come to our country, they succeed. They work hard. They live the American dream because they're not born and raised in our country. And so they appreciate all the freedoms and all the blessings we have of being in our country. Whereas many of us that were born and raised here, we take our wonderful country for granted, our freedoms for granted. But you as converts are a sign of encouragement and hope for us. Now in a few moments you will be received into the church. And it's so appropriate that it takes place at the Easter Vigil, which of course is called in the writings of the church the mother of all vigils. It's the most important event in the entire church year. This is the Super Bowl of Catholic liturgies. Okay, this is a very important and very sacred night. And one of the beautiful traditions is that when I say, "Christ is risen," you would say, "He is risen indeed." And we'll repeat that 3 times to try to realize that Jesus is risen. So Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. So tonight we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He is our Lord, He is our Savior, and He founded our church 2,000 years ago. We call it the 4 marks of the church. 1, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. That Christ founded the church upon the apostles 2,000 years ago. So tonight you're being received into the Catholic faith, into Catholic Christianity. And You'll be receiving many blessings, the sacraments. As you know, there are 7 sacraments in the church. And some of you are getting what I like to call the sacramental grand slam, okay? When we think of the baseball, we think of, you know, home run is good, but a grand slam is better. The bases are loaded, right, and you hit that grand slam. That's what will happen tonight to many of you, because you're receiving not one, not two, not three. Some of you will be receiving many sacraments, as many as 4 sacraments. Now, some of you are very lucky, and the rest of the class has envied you because you'll be baptized in a few moments. You know what that means? That means they didn't have to go to confession. And all the others who stood in line for 2 hours this morning and had to make their first confession of 30, 40, 50, 60 years, they're so envious and jealous of you, I'm sure not in a bad way, that when you come up here in a few moments, the waters of baptism will be poured over you and all your sins will be washed away. Original sin and any sins of your entire life will be washed away. As long as you're sorry for your sins, they'll all be washed away. And the word baptism comes from the word baptizon, which means to be immersed or to plunge. Now, there are 2 ways to be baptized. You can either be immersed or plunged into the water 3 times, or you can have water poured over you and you're washed in the waters of baptism. In the early church, the apostles, for example, in the New Testament, had to baptize people in prison. They wouldn't have the large pools, but they would pour water over them. So either one is fine. But the idea of baptism is that you go into the death, you die to sin, and you rise to new life. That's why you're brought into the church at the Easter Vigil during Easter. When we think about the death and resurrection of Christ, you enter into the death and resurrection of Christ because you are dying to sin. And you'll then be clothed in Christ and given sanctifying grace within your soul. The very indwelling of the Blessed Trinity within your soul. Now, those of you that were baptized as babies or as teenagers, you made your confession this morning. You also died to sin. You made beautiful confessions. And you died to sin and rose with new life. You walk into those confessionals dead in sin. You come out born again, washed with the blood of Christ, washed with the grace of God. And you became a dwelling place again of the Holy Spirit, the dwelling of the Blessed Trinity. So you also died to sin this morning when you made your confessions. And now you're about to receive confirmation and Holy Communion. Now the Eucharist is, according to Vatican II, the source and summit of our Catholic faith, the source and summit of the Christian life. The other sacraments lead us to Jesus, but the Eucharist is Jesus. You get to receive Him tonight, body, blood, soul, and divinity, the true God of God, Jesus, light of light, Lord of lords, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one in being with the Father, will come into your heart and soul in Holy Communion. It's not a symbol, it's not a reminder, it is the Lord. Jesus Christ is truly present as He was in Bethlehem or in Nazareth or in Jerusalem. You get to receive the Lord today. And what a wonderful sacrament that is, the sacrament of Holy Communion. Our Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And I know that as converts, you won't take the Lord for granted. Sometimes we as Catholics can take the Lord for granted. But what we should do is learn from our converts tonight to receive our communion tonight as if it were our first communion, as if it were our last communion, as if it were our only communion. Imagine if we could only receive communion once in our life. What a great honor and privilege that would be. We take the Lord for granted, don't we? Well, let's learn from our converts and really cherish this special moment of receiving the Lord in the Most Blessed Sacrament. All of you have been on a journey. You've been studying now for the last 24 weeks. You've been coming to classes. You've been praying. You've been attending Mass. God gave you the invitation, and you have said yes. And you have said yes, like our Blessed Mother said yes to the angel Gabriel. She was given an invitation and she said yes. You were given an invitation and you said yes. And your journey has led you here to baptism, to confession, to confirmation, which is the outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to be filled with the gifts and virtues and graces of the Holy Spirit. So you'll become adults within the church, and then Holy Communion. I love what Scott Hahn said. As you know, the Protestant minister who became Catholic, a brilliant scholar, he said that he's so grateful for his Protestant faith all those years that taught him the Bible, that taught him love of Jesus and that personal relationship with the Lord which every one of us needs to have. He loved the Bible so much. He read it every day during his entire life. But he said that now that he's become a Catholic, he doesn't just have to read the menu. He can partake in the banquet. He can partake in the banquet of the Eucharist. Yes, we love the Word of God, the sacred scriptures, the sacred menu that teaches us about the Lord. But the Eucharist is the banquet. And so yes, we have the scriptures, and that's where we're nourished by the Word of God, but then we are nourished by His body, blood, soul, divinity in the Holy Eucharist. So my advice for you now, as we call you up in a moment for baptism, is to each day develop your relationship with the Lord. Have a strong prayer life. Make sure you pray every day. And read the Bible every day. 5, 10, 15 minutes a day. Read sacred scripture and meditate on it. Dwell upon it. And it will become the light for your journey. Attend Mass every Sunday. Receive Jesus every Sunday and even during the week. I know many of you have a desire to go to Mass more than on Sunday. You can go to Mass during the week and receive every day if you'd like. Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. So consider that. And then spend time with the Lord in Eucharistic adoration. We have an adoration chapel down the hall. Come and make a visit to the Lord anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. You can come and visit the Lord. Make sure you go to regular confession, especially those of you that will be baptized tonight that have not made a confession, since you don't need to. But a month from now, you know, give yourself a month to collect a few things to say, and then go to confession within a month. And then continue to study your faith. See, the fathers and deacons and I, we're still learning our faith after maybe being ordained 20 years or 40 years. It's a lifetime study. You can never know enough about the Bible or about your faith. Continue to study your faith and get involved. Make sure you get involved in some organization or prayer group or ministry within the church. You need that. Your Tuesday night classes are over, so fill that up with something else. A prayer group, a Bible study, Knights of Columbus, Legion of Mary, pro-life activities. Do something and get involved. The benefit of that is that you'll continue to grow in your faith. You'll make wonderful friendships that you'll have for the rest of your life. And so you'll become an active member of the church. So always center your life around Jesus. And develop your personal relationship with Him every day through Scripture and through His presence in the Holy Eucharist. Be especially devoted to our Blessed Mother, who will keep you close to Christ. And if you always stay close to Our Lady, she'll always keep you close to her Son, Jesus. God bless you.